You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Planential Podcast, or as we're calling it, Season 2, Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I am a CFP, which is a Certified Financial Planner. And I must say, this season we have really great fake names. So I have with me Nina Saver. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And so, Nina Saver, tell us a little bit about yourself, how old you are. We always like to specify if you're living in a city or a suburb, what state, income, married, single, dependents, all that jazz.
Okay. I'm 35 years old. My husband and I just bought a house in the Hudson Valley. It's country, but not like farms and fields where we are necessarily. We have a daughter. She just turned one in December.
Ooh, congrats.
And, thank you. And was that my introduction question?
Yeah, I think that's good. Okay, so you're married with a baby.
Yep, married a year and a half with a one-year-old.
So, and then what, we normally do job or job area.
Now, yes, I'm sorry. It always slips my mind because it's been a whirlwind for me. Right now, I'm actually a stay-at-home mom. Prior to that, I was an elementary principal. Prior to that, I was an elementary teacher. And my husband is a sales rep for a medical device equipment.
Oh, very nice. You're a principal. That's a pretty big role, right? Doesn't usually...
It's a very big role, let me tell you what.
Were you young?
300 children of your own.
Well, you got a lot of practice, right?
I did. Well, yeah, I did.
You were young to be. Were you not young to be a principal? Or am I?
I was. Many of my mentors and friends and colleagues considered me to be one of the youngest principals, and one of my professors told me I was going to be the youngest superintendent, and I told him to pump the brakes.
More kids.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a stay-at-home mom for? When did you make, and you know, we have, I don't know if we've talked about it with anybody on the podcast. I think it would be really interesting. How did that conversation go with you and your husband?
Yeah, I've been a stay-at-home mom since December 16th of 2017.
Okay, so you got a year under your belt.
Yep. It was actually, initially it was going to be the 6 weeks with hoping, you know, it could be 12. Could we work out the 12 weeks?
And why the 12? Because you got paid for six?
I get paid for six, and then I could go out for six more unpaid, but, and I'm sorry, it was so confusing with HR for me to like completely understand it all the time. But at the 12-week mark, my husband was like, no, you're going back in September. We'll go on my insurance. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I didn't want to leave her. I didn't want to leave her at all, which I think surprised a lot of people because I was so career driven and oriented that many women were like, I couldn't wait to get back to the workforce and like, you know, get back to me. And I was like, I am an educator. I come from, you know, the world of education, and there's nothing more valuable than if you can actually stay home and raise your child. And I know that. And I just, even if I hadn't known that, I can't imagine myself being separated. So I'm incredibly blessed and fortunate that my husband was not only encouraging, but almost like, I wouldn't say he demanded it, but he certainly was like, he was like, what do you want? And I was like, I can't go back. He was like, then you're not. And I was like, thank you.
Was it that easy? Because like, I kind of envisioned it being like sitting down with the numbers and being like, this is what you want to do, but like, can we make it work? So it was more the other way, like, we're going to do it and then you'll figure out the finances after.
It was because he had figured that out. And I think he was probably figuring it out behind the scenes, maybe.
Like behind the curtain a little bit.
In the delirium of newborn. I was back on a teacher salary because I returned to teaching when we found out I was pregnant, because my teaching career was on leave for my principal career.
Now, were you still, I'm just curious with the teaching, were you still then building towards your, because you get tenure as a teacher, correct?
Yes, you get tenure as a teacher, you get it as an administrator as well, but I already had it as a teacher, and that was what was important.
So just for the listener, so you had your tenure as a teacher, meaning that you had it's 10 years to be tenured, right?
Okay. No, when I was hired, it was 3 years. And now in the time that I've worked, it's 4 years for a teacher. It's 5 years for an administrator.
So you were in a new tenured system. So you wanted to move back into almost the safety of the teacher position.
That's exactly what I did. I wasn't protected as a principal.
Got it.
Not yet. I mean, not to say that they necessarily would have let me go, but
it was a risk.
Looking where things ended up, it would have been risky, and it just wouldn't have also been a really good professional move.
Okay.
Because everybody that I worked with in my district, I had a lot of respect for, and I knew that there was outstanding respect for me. So going back into a position that's easy, and also having been an administrator, knowing that it's easier to fill a teacher's position than it is to fill an administrator. And then to continually go on leave or, you know, extend your time, you become it's a burden, really.
Burden for the district, okay.
To have that filled. So I just didn't want to leave a sour taste in anybody's mouth. I didn't want to, like, burn my bridges without being professional and doing the thing that was in the best interest of students, staff, and myself. So I was protected as a teacher. It made the most sense. But in that light, I made less. So when it came to could we survive, we were already surviving with my teacher paycheck than my principal one.
Got it. Okay. So then you switched back to being a teacher when you found out you were pregnant.
Yep. I found out I was pregnant in March of 2017. I finished out that season, that summer. And I returned to my teaching position in September for the 3-4 months, and then went on my maternity leave on December 16th.
Oh, man. I mean, you're changing my vision of it, because I think that's something that the listeners really like to know is kind of how, I mean, we hear, it's easier to hear a single woman's perspective on, like, how she makes her decisions. I think a lot of our listeners wonder how different couples make their decisions, right? Because everyone does it differently, and there's no right or wrong. And that's a big financial and life decision to make. And if it seems like from a career perspective, it was easy to make that decision because you felt it was very clear to you which way you wanted to go, which was to stay home.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear kind of how the financial decision doesn't seem like it was as hard to make as I would have thought.
It wasn't. And honestly, when I look at it, I'm like, where did we pinch? Because obviously my husband picked up my student loan, my car payment, my portion of our mortgage, you know, because we collectively we put everything into an account, but obviously my percent.
Yeah. So before you were not hit. Okay. So before so you've been married for a year and a half.
Yeah.
So when you merged, and then you had the baby right away. So when you, and then everything changed pretty quickly once you had the baby.
Right.
So when you merged when you got married, did you merge your finances, or it sounds like you kept it separate and you paid your bills with your salary and he paid his stuff? Is that kind of what happened?
When did we merge it? I ended up creating an account in USAA because he's a vet.
Okay.
Because he was big on the app and that we could move money around and we could see our money together collectively. And I was all about that. So we did merge it. We didn't merge it. You know, it was like a progressive thing because you have to start moving, you know, credit cards, and it was all like the name changing. So it was like a slow transition to merging. But then we definitely, probably within 6 months of being married, everything was merged before the baby was even here.
So do you have your own separate account?
I have like a my secret own separate
outside account?
No, I don't have a secret outside account.
I'm just kidding. But you have one account in your name only with some of your own money, or no?
Yes, I have. So, well, now that I'm not working, I'm like allowanced maybe. I have my account. I transfer money out of our bill pay account, which is where our paychecks were deposited into. And we both get an allowance out of our bill pay. So our bill pay is where all of our money would dump into, and then we would pull out our allowances based on like our monthly budget. And like, I'm responsible for the household and the baby and my gas and groceries and my spending money. And then he has like his spending money, and then all of our expenses come out of bill pay.
Ooh, so break this down for me, because this is different than we've heard from other people. So everything goes into a bill pay account. And then how do you figure out what each you get for an allowance, or for like fun money, really, if you will?
We had to tweak that a few times.
Okay.
Because we realized we could live on less. And as we're starting to budget and looking to pay off debt, we've had to, tweak it. Not necessarily, I mean, favorable for the future, but like, oh man, there goes a handbag. But I forget how we
like how does this come up? Like, do you guys sit down over you were pregnant, so I would say a glass of wine, but maybe not a glass of wine. But like, do you sit down over a cup of tea, or like, how do you, or is it just kind of randomly, or like, do you sit down and have a budget like meeting? Like, how does it go?
No, we have a budget meeting now, actually. Yeah.
Oh,
we
really?
Have a budget meeting once a month. It was supposed to be yesterday, actually, but it's going to be later tonight because I put him off because I forget. He wanted to make bread and I wanted to like do something by myself somewhere in the house, and I forgot. So our budget meeting is actually tonight, but we have a budget meeting once a month that we just started, in December when we realized we really needed to hone in and pay off our debt. Before that, we would chat about our spending. We'd talk about how we both felt like maybe we spent a little more than we needed, or we'd reflect on the amount of Amazon packages that would show up and, you know. But we openly talk about money. It comes up like over breakfast or at around the house or in the evening. But now we have an official like budget meeting once a month. Made me laugh the first time too.
Was it his idea for the budget meeting?
It was his idea for the budget meeting, yeah.
Were you like, sure, I'll be there. What time? Send me an Outlook invite.
I did. And then when it came up, I was like, stop being father time. There's things I want to do too. We'll get it done.
That's hysterical. Okay, well, so tell me a little bit about income, debt, and kind of like how you guys are working your budgeting meeting.
How we work our budget meeting. Well, my husband has a spreadsheet, which is very comprehensive. It's actually pretty awesome. It makes it much more intelligible to me, because before that, I was just... You don't really know where your money is going, I learned. You know, you think you do, but... And I always had things accountable, and I never, you know...
Yeah, no, it's hard. It comes in, it goes out real fast, and then...
It comes in, it goes out. I always knew the dates, because I only had to be accountable for really, like, three things, like my student loan, my car, and my rent, or then when we got married, like, mortgage, and those three things are really the only dates I had to be, like, money's in that account, and then, like,
okay,
what am I squandering elsewhere? But, he has mapped out our income, then our fixed expenses, our variable expenses, the summary of all of that, and then our debt snowball as we're paying stuff off.
I love a good debt snowball.
You love a debt snowball. I know you do.
For our listeners who are wondering what the hell I'm talking about, a debt snowball is what I describe to a lot of our other anonymous podcast guests, which is where you tackle one debt more specifically, and then once you pay that off, you take the money from that payment and apply it towards your net debt. And so your payment amount grows, because as you tackle debt, you take that money from that payment and add it onto your next debt. And so therefore, more money towards the next debt, and then you pay that one off, and now you have more money, and it basically snowballs, and that you get to pay your debt off much faster with that type of strategy. So what is your income so your husband is working his medical device, so you're living off of his income. And what do you know about what that is, gross?
We had that conversation
earlier
today.
I wish you had your meeting yesterday.
This was coming, because the new year and he meets quota and he gets bonuses and things like that. So he's very cognizant of his money flow because it's so variable. So he's always calculating that. And I think he estimated or gathered that it was like $168,000 for 2017.
For
2018, excuse me.
Is what he made in 2018.
And I made nothing.
but that's what you guys decided. That's fine.
I'm just like, sometimes I think about, wow, if I were working, what we would be making. And then I'm like, no, because I wouldn't change that.
So you said he does sales. So is his income's variable? Does he have a base salary that he gets, or?
No.
Wow. That's a lot of pressure on him, huh?
Yeah.
Right? Because if he doesn't hit his numbers and doesn't make money, I mean, it's three of you living off of it, not just one person.
Exactly.
Okay, so is he targeting around the same income for 19?
No, he's looking to grow every year.
Okay, so he's hoping to do better than 168,000.
He's hoping to do over two.
Okay, got it. And then what does your debt look like as a household?
Our some debt, and we've actually paid off some things like in the last month, and then we'll as of tomorrow. But for the point of this conversation, our some debt was $158,598.
To the T. Nina Saver, you nailed those numbers.
I knew you would love this.
Okay, so well, 100. I'll just use round numbers. We have $158,000 of debt. Is that primarily your mortgage?
No, I'm sorry. The mortgage is on top of that.
Oh, okay.
The mortgage, that's my student loan. That was three credit cards, my Mazda payment, and his student loan.
Okay, so that's student loans. Okay, so that's everything. So that, I don't want to make you feel bad, but that's like the bad debt, like student loans,
that's
credit
cards.
That's the
bad debt. And then the mortgage was when we bought the house, $270.
Okay.
Now, a year later, $270.
Okay. Good. And you probably got a low interest rate on that.
Yeah. 3.5.
Perfect. That's fantastic. Okay. And then how are you all doing with saving?
Saving, there's 10,000 in an emergency fund. And then we have 110 in his 401 and 11 in my 403B.
And did you start a college fund? Have you thought about that?
Not yet. That's happening. That will happen. That's one of our steps. That's step five.
Step five.
Step five after we get all of our nasty, ugly debt, our bad debt, I think you called it, out of the way.
Okay, perfect. So you have a strategy for how you're paying that off, and you've looked at your interest rates and amounts and where it's most effective to pay down of the student loans and credit cards.
We think so. We're paying the lowest balance off first, and then maintaining any minimum payments on the other ones. We took out my one credit card and my Mazda in the last 2 months. So then the minimum payments for them and the Mazda payment.
And took out meaning you paid them off.
Paid them off, yeah.
Great, fantastic. That's great.
And then we have two credit cards and two student loans left. And so we're hoping to have them whittled down.
And then
only
what do you
have the student loan after this month?
So just to give our listeners an idea, what are you putting towards debt monthly?
It's $3,500, but we had a fairy. We had an unannounced gift of $15,000.
I was like, what kind of fairy? Like an Amazon fairy or?
Better than that. We had an unannounced gift from a family member.
From
a trust for $15,000, which was what made it able for us to pay off a credit card and the car.
Perfect.
So, I mean, that took out like maybe 5 or 6 months
of payment.
We would have been whittling away at $3,500 a month. So we have $3,500 a month that we put on debt.
Debt. And then what do you put to, what's your mortgage a month?
Our mortgage is $1,800.
Great. So I can see why with the debt that you're trying to tackle, why your fun money got kind of whittled down a bit.
Yeah.
Just have to find more like free fun. That makes sense. Because then once you free up the money, I mean, that's a big amount back into your monthly budget when you get the debt knocked down.
Right.
And what are you targeting? Do you know what your time frame is that you're targeting?
I think it was early next year. Because we're hoping to have his student loan and his credit card and my last credit card paid off by next month.
Okay.
Because the fairy visited again.
Oh, the I'm fairy. Sorry. The fairy's
I'm
coming.
I'm sorry that this is going to be live and like people are going to be like, what is happening? What does it mean, the fairy?
We should call you Nina the fairy. Okay.
We got a trust check. From a family member in December. Okay. And then we were informed that we would get another one in January, that it was split up for tax reasons.
Yeah, yeah. If you're two different tax years, it doesn't show as income. It'll be 18 and then in 19. Perfect. Okay, because you're paying about $42,000 a year with the $3,500 a month. So if you have about $150,000 in debt and that has interest on it. I was thinking you'd probably get it all squared away in 3.5 years, a little under.
And my husband also gets bonuses, and that's why his work is variable and things can fluctuate. Like, he could get a bonus that could take out $10,000, $15,000.
Okay, so you'll do the $3,500, that's what you've budgeted in, but as extra income comes in, you're applying it towards your debt to kind of...
Exactly.
So the goal is to get that tackled in 2 to 3 years, really.
Yeah.
Perfect, that's fantastic. So what's your fund money amount down to? I want to know. What's
my monthly budget? My monthly allowance is $1,700.
That's not bad.
No,
but
it's not bad.
But that's you
I think
and the
it's
baby.
$800 for me, and it's $200 for the baby, because really all that she needs is diapers. I buy her clothes thrift. If I buy my clothes now, I buy my clothes thrift.
That's
my husband.
That's a good saving.
That includes groceries, which is probably more of the expense. I'm trying really hard to spend less on groceries, but I find that to be my biggest challenge. I don't drive so much anymore like I used to for work, so I actually end up pulling from my gas money for groceries.
Ah, that's interesting.
I mean, it's all there, but I know how much I have for gas. But I used to, you know, drive 6,300 miles a week, and now like days can go by and I don't leave the house. So that's another like $50 for groceries. But I find like with the baby, I want certain things to be organic and just healthy and not have sugar, and that stuff all piles up, and fresh vegetables all
it's
piles up.
It's ironic, so if there's less ingredients in the item you're buying, it tends to be more expensive, which makes no sense.
Yep. Yeah, less processing, more expensive.
Yeah. Because I've noticed that with grocery shopping, when I'm trying to do like a clean eating thing, that my grocery bill is so much more expensive than if I don't look at the labels.
And coffee, when you realize how much coffee you drink, even when you drink it at home, like 2 pounds of coffee at Sam's Club is $18. And now I look at that stuff where before I wasn't.
That's good, though. It's important
along,
to know.
Yeah.
So it's a big – so you're seeing a big difference with budgeting now that you're married with a baby versus when you – because you were single for – and on your own for a bit before?
Yes. Yes. Even if I've been in relationships, I was always single and self-maintenance and self-maintaining, and all my bills were separate, and all everything I just handled and took care of. So, but I did. I flitted about and wasn't really as, you know, if I went in with the intention to only spend $60 and it was $125, I didn't think about it. Whereas now I'm like, oh no, I'm putting this back.
And how has it been going from being a career woman to switching to staying at home? Because I know that I've talked to other women where they say it can be a little bit of an identity crisis because you identify, you know.
Oh, I definitely had that.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's
I definitely had that.
When you're used to having.
And then I started.
Go ahead.
With that. Well, in the summer, I actually took a part-time principal job for BOCES Academic Summer School. And so that got me back out in the real world. And that was only half day and Monday to Thursday. So that was nice to have adult time. But I still found myself like racing home because my mom was taking care of the baby. And I just found myself racing home anyway, whether it be my mom as a caregiver or somebody else, just, you know, to relieve my mother or just to be done with work and have time with her. So September, when I didn't have any more work, I definitely picked back up on like the identity crisis of like, you know, where did I go exactly and what is happening, what has happened and who are you? And I actually started, skincare, selling Rodan and Fields as a brand ambassador, which, oh, I didn't mention in all of this. Since I started in September, I had 1 month was $300 I made. Another month was 200. This past month was 500. So that little supplemental that comes in is kind of just reinvesting back into the business, be it products or be it events. So that's not making enough money right now, or it's contributing to the household, but it's at least making enough money and keeping me independent and enjoying something.
Oh, okay. So you picked up a little side hustle.
I did, yeah.
Very nice. But right now you're reinvesting that all back into the side hustle. Okay.
Because the initial startup cost, you know, for the product lines that I wanted to have, you know, for customers and for events, you know, it was paying that back because I've charged that. So then I've since paid that back, but then just beefing up supplies or products again. And John and I use them, so we go through them as well. So then I buy them through that so that I'm not tapping into like our personal funds or the household funds.
Very nice. So that helps a little bit. Yeah, I was just curious about it because we haven't had someone on who made that transition from having a career to being to staying home. So it's interesting to hear your perspective on it from not only how personally it feels, but from like the financial aspect of like going to like having your own bills and your own income to then not having that is like a big change, I think.
Yeah.
But you're making
I think I acclimated a lot easier than I expected to. With motherhood, but then I think it came up later unexpectedly, just kind of an unsettled sense. And I could be resentful and a little jealous of my husband.
Really?
Yeah. Just having like the time to come and go as he does, even though it was for work and I understood that, but like to get to leave the house or have independence, it was the independence thing. That's a big deal for me.
Right, because with a baby, you can't just go do what you want, right? Because you're the primary caregiver.
Right. And like, even if you want to, as she gets older and, you know, they change, you start to have to adapt to their new demands and, you know, their naps or their feeding schedules. So what once worked as like a nap time to target now no longer works.
So you're constantly changing.
So, yeah, it constantly changes.
And with your budget meeting and your plan and everything, is your plan to stay, like, have you thought it out like 5 years or 3 years or what is the, or we're just doing it, you're doing it year by year?
I mean, we've thought it out without me having an income in mind and we're talking about a second baby. So, I mean, I certainly don't see myself going back to work in September. I haven't told my district that yet, but, I don't foresee that because I foresee probably being pregnant. So, and why go back to work pregnant when you have the toddler at home if you don't have to?
Right. And the other thing I think we didn't really talk about, I don't know if you looked into it, but did you look into childcare? Because I'm pretty sure it's fairly expensive.
We did. I had her sign up for childcare. I took a huge bite. I took a $700 deposit.
Oof. So you made the decision and then took it back.
I made the deposit and they had the, you know, no cancellation for the infant room.
Ugh.
So I ate that. Yeah. Which was fine. I mean, it was like that's small peanuts in the scheme of staying home with your baby. But, we had mapped it out. It was not my paycheck. What was it? It was like $54 a day. She'd have to go 5 days a week. It was 250. It was like, I thought it ended up being like 11.
Yeah, I was going to say $1,000 a month.
Yeah, 11 or $1,200 a month it ended up being. And then it was all, well, it was fine because as an educator, you know, holidays and snow days, I would be home with her anyway. So it's not like we'd have to work that out. So I think it was $1,200 a month for childcare.
Wow, that's expensive.
I checked out a cheap one and the first one I put a deposit on and like I felt sick driving away. And the next day I called back and was like, I've changed my mind. Thank you.
Have a nice life. See you never.
Yeah.
You can keep my money, but you're not getting my child.
Because it just, you just know. So where it's not the most expensive, it was the feeling that you got when you went in the place and who the caregivers were. And so, but yeah, it would have been $1,200 a month. So, and as a teacher, I was making, I think $1,600. I was investing a little bit with my 403B, so I don't know if that number is before or after, but I was making about 16 or 1800 twice a month. So it was almost, you know, nearly a paycheck.
Yeah. Nearly a paycheck. Okay.
So not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And right. If you're going to have two children, you'd have to pay that number twice, right?
Twice. Yeah.
So then,
so what we absorbed was like $1,800 was, you know, or $2,000 is what we maybe, or actually with all my debt, I think it ended up being like we absorbed $3,000 or $3,500. John absorbed it is what I mean.
Is John listening to this call?
He did. He popped in. Now he's laying here. He flipped over the paper so that I could tell you that our 8-year plan is to have the house paid off, to have our 401ks be $474,000, to have a 529 that's $73,000.
He got like exact. Where did he come up with 73?
I'm seeing 500 at 5% up here.
Got it. Oh, so this is with investment returns. Okay, so the target is in 8 years that you all have your house and debt paid off and that you have $474,000 in your 401k and then $73,000 in 529s.
Yep.
So I have one other big question for you because I think that's a fantastic plan. Do you both have life insurance?
That's our next thing. We actually have that scheduled for next month. They have to come to the house and like take your blood and do stuff. John told me.
So let me give you a little warning. Yeah, and you definitely want to do that before you get pregnant. They won't do it while you're pregnant.
Okay.
Just so keep that in mind. You want to make sure that you get term insurance, not whole life or universal. Term is going to give you the cheapest cost with the most coverage.
Okay.
But when you're dealing with an insurance person, they make the most money selling you the most expensive insurance, which is not term. So keep that in mind.
Will do. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I would say that's the next big thing. Now that you have, you know, you guys have a mortgage, you have a baby, you might be having another baby. Insurance is really important. And you're going to want, I don't know if John, if your husband's still in the room, hopefully not. You're going to want a lot more on John, because just let's fast forward to a terrible scenario. You now have two kids. You staying at home out of the workforce for a few years, and he's making $200, $225 and gets hit by a bus and killed. You are in not only a personal tragedy, like that you can't believe, but now you're in a financial tragedy, like huge.
Right.
Because you now have a mortgage. You have, maybe let's say you paid off the debt, but in the worst case scenario, you didn't pay off the debt and you have a mortgage, you have debt, you have two little kids, and you weren't planning, you wanted, your dream was to stay home with them. And that's now, you lost your husband and that whole life that you had planned out is gone.
Right. I know. We've talked about that. It haunts me. So that's why I'm looking forward to just getting
him insured. Yeah.
Done with, so I don't have to think about it or have the conversation.
Yeah. And it's definitely something you want insurance on you too, because think about it. If something happened to you, and let's fast forward and say now you have two kids, John isn't going to quit his job and stay home with the kids, I don't think. Right.
No.
So he's going to need to cover, we just talked about the cost of childcare. So let's just say
a nanny. We talked about it yesterday.
Perfect. Okay, good. You guys are on the same page. So yeah, you just want to be careful though with the insurance people, because I see a lot of people get sold really expensive insurance policies that don't fulfill their need. So with John, you need to think about what would you need to put the future family, right? So let's say you're planning on four kids or two kids, whatever it is. You want to put them through school, perhaps. You want to make sure that all the debt and the mortgage is paid off. And then you want to make sure that the lifestyle, for the most part, is covered. Are you going to be going back to work? Or let's say you're planning on having four kids and staying home for the next 10 years. And that's the plan, because you want to educate them yourself. You want to account for all that when you're looking at the insurance. Typically with term insurance, you'll be able to afford whatever amount you need for the most part, because it's so cheap. But you have to be really careful that you're not sold insurance. You want to make sure that you're buying insurance.
Right.
The way to think about it is, I'm looking to get a car actually right now, and I feel like I wish I, you know, knew somebody, you know, and I'm lucky I have a friend in the industry who can check on things for me. Because if you go to, you know, a Toyota dealer, they're going to sell you a Toyota. They're not going to tell you to go across the street and get a Nissan. So it's, you just got to be very careful with pure insurance people, right? Because all they do is sell insurance, and they want to, you know, human nature is to make, you know, to take care of themselves first, even though they shouldn't. So once you get that done, then it seems like you guys are in a great situation.
I know, it's crazy, right? I'm so thankful for him.
And I appreciate you sharing all the details and letting me ask you those tough questions, like what it's like to switch from career to stay-at-home mom.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm sorry if I got all confusing.
No, not at all. I think this was great. I think it's a great peek inside kind of such a big change, right? Because, you know, at 35, you've been working for a long time to make that switch. It's a big change.
I wouldn't change it though. It's crazy. I love being home with her. It's so funny. She's so funny. Like I couldn't imagine. We said one day, and it was John, and that's what I mean when it was like, he was like, whatever you want, but like, ideally I would have you home with her. I can't imagine that she will be hanging out with strangers for the entire day and see us less and see me even less. Because his work schedule is on call. Like, he just got home from work and he left the house at 7 a.m. today. Like, every day is different. So it was just like the idea of a stranger. And I know, of course, like some people, it's not an option, but it was just like, and childcare providers are sweethearts and lovely people, but just the idea of someone else, she would know them better.
Well, like, I'm so happy that this has worked out. And it sounds like you guys have a fantastic plan. Any other questions for me before we wrap it up?
No. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And having me, you know, having patience for me to sort that out with my Skype. And I've always appreciated your insight. And you were the first person I told John told John one 2 years ago. Debt snowball. And he's a man. He had to go read it himself. And then he started talking to me about debt snowball.
So you, I forgot, you learned the debt snowball from me.
Yeah.
Yay. I love to see you implementing things I teach.
I did.
Fantastic.
I did. I told him, I was like, no. I was like, no, because then you take that payment and you combine it and put it on the next one. I was like, you can't just sprinkle it around everywhere and nothing ever gets paid off.
Yes, I'm so happy to hear that. That's fantastic. Well, that's a perfect segue. For those of you at home who want to learn more of my tricks, you can sign up for our classes at www.planential.com. We are running some specials for the beginning of the year, which you can get the coupon codes on our Instagram. And as always, we love to hear from our listeners. So shoot us a message and let us know what you want, or if you want to be a guest, hit us up on Instagram with a follow or a comment. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.